right, students, I want to take you some places in ministry, how I grounded myself in ministry over the years. And there are two scriptures I want to open up with. They're both in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 5, verse 12, and Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. I want you also to pin down the aspect of having an excellent spirit, an excellent soul, and an excellent body. Those three things. We're going to talk about having an excellent life and an excellent ministry in these series. I know I started off teaching you the first two classes, but I want to take it this way. I'll bring it back that way. But an excellent life and an excellent ministry. In Daniel 5:12, for as much as an excellent spirit. Now notice that an excellent spirit, that's a spirit that is in tune to the abilities of God. Okay, excellent spirit. That's a spirit that the deceptive molds of Satan cannot get a hold of. And you can train yourself. Your spirit is excellent, but you have to bring your soul to an excellent position. And even to the point in Hebrews chapter 5, the latter verses say you can bring your senses to excellent as they listen to your spirit. And that will cause you to be able to function in the excellency of God. So here in his voice, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge, notice that, and knowledge and understanding, these are the type of things that produces the functioning of your spirit, because now you're renewing your mind and now you're bringing your body under subjection. So he says, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, listen class, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard synthesis, and dissolving of doubt. What a resume for to be in ministry with, was found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he was showed the interpretation. Now the king was in trouble, and he needed somebody who was in contact with God. If you look at the 11th verse, it'll tell you more, or the 10th and the 11th verse will tell you more, but I just want you to see the excellent spirit. Now, sometimes go to Daniel chapter 6. Sometimes people try to function in an excellent spirit, but you cannot. Your spirit is excellent. Oh, my goodness. See, because 2 Peter says you are partakers of his divine nature. So your spirit is excellent. So why people have so much trouble in doing the right thing, or in having the revelation, in having the knowledge, is because of an uncontrolled soul. And then if you have an uncontrolled soul in ministry, in life or in ministry, you're going to have an uncontrolled body. And then Satan will try to use your life to make a mockery of God. But that's not going to happen. So in the 6th chapter of Daniel, now we see it again. Then his disciples. In the third verse, Daniel chapter 6. Then this Daniel was preferred above all the president and princes. Look at the word preferred. Preferred. Underline the word preferred. Look it up. Preferences. Being at the top of your game will cause things to happen in your life and ministry that you'll see a whole lot never reach, because while they're playing, you prepare. While they're playing, you prepare. You would write it down. While you're playing, see, playing is produced a stupidity in ministry. It make ministry sluggish when you're not a good student. See, Daniel was a student in prayer time. You're going to notice He got in trouble in the sixth chapter by his prayer time. He wouldn't quit praying. Daniel wouldn't quit praying. That he had a prayer life, a strong prayer life. So you might mark on your paper to have an excellent spirit, an excellent soul, and an excellent body. You're going to have a powerful, serious prayer life. That's one of the things that called Daniel to have this type of spirit. Then this Daniel was preferred above the president and princes. Wow. Because an excellent spirit was in him. I mean the third verse. I want you looking at it. I want everybody looking at it because the word is the seed. Always remember that. Not your performance, not your outline, not your principles, not your parable. The word is the power of ministry. The word is the seed that produces what you need. And it produced what the people need. Are you following me? Now, he said, then this Daniel was preferred above the president and, look at the word above. How many want your ministry on top? Not for to be a superstar, but to please God. Because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. What a verse. What a landing for a ministry. Listen, what he said now. Then this Daniel was preferred, that's a powerful word, above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm, over the whole realm. That's where we should be as ministers of the gospel. We should be over the whole realm. We should be over the whole realm of things for God. If we walk in that ministry of excellence, the life of excellence, see now the life in the ministry cannot be separated. I'm about to give you some principles to fortify what we are teaching about having an excellent life and an excellent ministry, going toward an excellent life. Toward it all the time. You want to improve all the time. Now, class, I want you to get these points and I want you to meditate on them. A successful lifestyle is not measured by the quantity of accumulated possession, neither is it measured by popularity. We're talking about having an excellent spirit. Excellent life, excellent soul, excellent body, excellent ministry. A successful life style is not measured by the quantity of accumulated possession. Right there, the word comfort, quality. It's not quantity, it's quality. The Lord wants a quality person. You want a quality lifestyle, a quality ministry, a ministry that is submitted to Him. So you see, accumulation and popularity, that's two things you got to deal with. And if not, they will take you out. Accumulation and popularity. We're talking about excellent spirit, so you can't get caught up in things and you can't get caught up in yourself. What you have to do in ministry is make sure that Jesus is always the star. Make sure that Jesus is always the star. No matter what happened to you, no matter how many miracles, how many signs, how many wonders, how many, if you're a pastor, how many members you have, how many appointments you have, how powerful your message was, and how many people say, what a great message. Make sure that your ministry is based on Jesus being the star. I want to go over that again, and I'm going to give you some more on that. A successful lifestyle is not measured, that word measured, by the quantity of accumulated possession. Neither is it measured by popularity. All right? Now, let me give you the rest of this. Here's what it consists. It consists in the attainment of God's goals, G-O-A-L-S, and purposes for one life. Goal and purposes. Goal and purposes. See that class? Goal and purposes. It's not about quantity. It's not about popularity. But it's about goals and purposes of God. That will take you a long way. You see. That way, when you got God's goal and God's purposes on your mind, look at Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 is a beautiful verse on that. It said, all things work together for good for them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. So here it is right there. Here's an excellent ministry right there in Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. You see that? That's powerful. The purposes of God. The purposes of God will keep you from stepping out of line. When you recognize how important God's goal for your life, how important God's purposes are for your life. You know, I mean, my. Now, I'm going to take you farther, class, and I'm going to take you, if you pay attention to these classes, you will be successful in life and in ministry. Now, I'm speaking from a successful life, and I'm speaking from a successful ministry. So I know what this is. I know how God hears these things. I'm ministering to you now. I always am to have an excellent spirit, an excellent soul, an excellent body. All right, now, listen to this very carefully, because I'm going to give you one of the favorite verses, my verses in the Bible. Everyone who is born of God has a divine plan for his life. Write that down, a divine plan, because once you understand that your life, God has a divine plan for your life, other plans, when they show up, will not take you off base. Other offers in a different direction than what God wants you to go in, you will not accept it. When you know that your life and your ministry is a divine plan from God, that God has divine plan for you, you will not take no devilish plan, no demonical plan, no sideline, worldly plan. So once again, everyone who is born of God has a divine plan. God has a divine plan for his life. Who says the Lord in Jeremiah, now turn to Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11, and look at this divine plan. This divine plan will keep you in line with God's will. Jeremiah 29:11, class. For I know the thoughts, God talking now, that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, in studying the word, when you see a revelation or you see a scripture, always go to the opposite of it. Go to the opposite. If this don't happen, what else is going to happen? So if God have an expected end for you, and if you don't follow his plan, you're going to end up with a shipwreck. You're not going to be able to fulfill what you're born for. You end up shipwrecked. And so the enemy will always aim to give you an unexpected end. Shame, failure, unsuccessful. And nobody wants these things. And a lot of people have those things in ministry, but I don't want it to happen to none of you as students of this school. Remember I told you that. May the Lord breeze on that. Now, in the Living Bible, 29:11 says, for I know the plans. See, underline the word plans. I have for you. Now, when the Lord have plans for you, he plan on helping you accomplish. See, the Lord will work as a team with you. But you have to yield. That's the word, yield. Write it down. Yield. Flow. Have knowledge of God's plan. Believe it and receive it. And then, therefore, now you're able to walk in it and accomplish what God has, for you know how to yield to God. So in the Living Bible, it says, for I know the plan I have for you, says the Lord, there are plans for good and not for evil, to give you future, to give you a future and a hope. Powerful. Powerful. Now, class, that was point number one. A successful lifestyle is not measured by the quantity of accumulation, possession, neither is measured by popularity. I was just explaining that, point number one. Now let's go to point number two. And it says, it's still saying God has plans for you. They have been there before you were born again, waiting for you to step into the kingdom and step into them. It is your duty to discover these plans and step in your divine assignment. Two points there. Discover the plan and step in your divine assignment. Wow, I love that, Lord. Discover the plan. So that means you got to do some searching. That means you got to do some praying. That means you got to do some studying. That means you got to do some meditating. Discover the plan. And then recognize that the plan you discover is a divine assignment. I like that. It is your duty to discover these plans and step into your divine assignment. All right? Now, when you're talking about discovering the plan and stepping into your divine assignment, there is a thing called distraction. There's a thing called distraction, right? Distraction, deception, derailment, to make you go some other route that God had planned for your life. The enemy wants to derail you. He wants to deceive you. He wants to distract you. Those three things, derailing, deception, and by derailing, deception, he can derail you. He can distract you. He can produce doubt in your life about what God wants you to do. So all of those things, as you're making your discovery, there's a word that I want to give you that's going to hold you, and that he's not going to be to derail you or distract you. Discernment. You have to develop, if you're going in an excellent spirit, an excellent life, and an excellent ministry, you're going to have to develop by the Spirit of God, in agreement with the Spirit of God, discernment. In other words, seeing beyond the natural, seeing beyond the known, seeing what God sees. All right? So the word, very important, class, that you remember about discernment, because there is an enemy that do not want, first of all, he don't want you to discover. He don't want you to discover, when I was talking about, he don't want you to discover God's plan. It's your duty to discover these plans and step into your divine assignment. He don't want you to do that. He wants you to be on his assignment and make you believe it's your assignment, but it's something he'll trick you with, all right? Here's just another aspect of it. And these things that I'm teaching, I have applied in my life, and they all work. They all work. They work everywhere. They work in Madison Square Garden. They work in Darrow. They work in London. They work in Brazil. They work in Chicago. They work in California. They work on the islands. They work everywhere, these principles that I'm teaching you. So listen to this. Discover your God-given assignment. Now, once you discover it, pursue it, and you will have a ministry. You discover it, and you pursue it. Discover it and pursue it. All right? Now, whereas some people get messed up in ministry, they go into a fantasy. They watch everybody else, and then they get all caught up. And so God cannot get them in the divine lineage, divine lineage, a lineup that he wanted me in. It's a divine ministry, it's a divine lineup. All right. Now, notice what ministry is not. Ministry is neither a dream nor a trance. Ministry is neither a dream nor a trance. So the word there that I always like to bring forth in my life and when I'm preparing and doing stuff is reality. Reality. It's real. It's the real deal. And you have to know that. So let's look at some of the things when you say ministry is neither a dream nor a trance. Look at some of the things. It is not a church title, a leadership position held in a local church. You see, don't get caught up in title. Because ministry, you can doctor so-and-so. I have two or three doctorate degrees, but I don't get caught up in those things. I don't even get up, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ and have a prophetic call on my, I don't get caught up in those things. It's all right if you got the fruit for it and people call you that, but you had to recognize before all them titles, listen, this is powerful. Before all those titles, you are a servant. Servant. When Peter opened up, he opened up with the first verse, turn to 2 Peter 1, I want you to see that. And Paul have done this too. Peter make reference to being a servant first. Always remember, before you get any title, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, doctor, or whatever, for any title, remember that you're a servant. It's not a church title or a leadership position held in a local church. Ministry, that's not ministry. Then he said, now listen what he says. It is a divine assignment handed down to a person by God. It's a divine assignment. It's not a title. I want the student in school here not to get caught up in titles because you're going to end up with no anointing, because anointing does not come with title. Anointing comes with assignment. 1 John 2:20, 1 John 2:27, Luke 4:18, Acts 10:38, Isaiah 10:27. These are different aspects of functioning in anointing. Let me go to 1 John 2:20, talking about you having unction. 1 John 2:27 talks about the anointing. Isaiah 10:27 talking about the anointing destroying the yoke and removing the burden. And then also you want to breathe on this carefully. In Psalm 92:10, is there that you want to stir yourself up and always have a fresh anointing, a fresh anointing. And that based on Jude 20, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping a fresh anointing, letting the Holy Spirit stay in charge. So it is a divine assignment. It's not an organization, oh Lord, or an association. Now that'd be one of your biggest problems, ducking them organization and ducking them association. Somebody come up and say, the Lord told me to tell you, you're supposed to follow me and you're going to be a great woman of God. My God. Don't see, organization and association to a certain degree has been contaminated and polluted with man-made ideals and people in high position and you nobody. Don't let that happen to your ministry. I had to step out of many places, but the Lord had already warned me, and I'm going to give you two words that was given me some 35, 40 years ago, but I want these two words to serve you. If you follow what I'm teaching you, you're always going to have what you need for ministry. Accommodation and consolidation. I think the word, that's the right word. you'll be able to put everything together if you might find the right word. But that's two words. I can't get them out right now. Accommodation and consolidation. In other words, ministry, listen to me very well, because you're not going to hear this very, very many places. Ministry is not a struggle. All right? Life is not a struggle. Write that down. Life is not a struggle. Ministry is not a struggle, because your opponent is already defeated. Okay? The thing that you're ministering are already accomplished. The thing that you're ministering is already finished. Now, that's John 19, 28 and John 19, 30. Because your ministry is under an empty cross, meaning that we already got the victory. All right? All right, so that's so important that you know that, that you understand that you have that anointing, and you have to know that you have an assignment, and you have to know that the assignment you have is already accomplished. You have to know that. You are called by God to continually to activate it. I love that. See what I'm saying? You continue activating. You're activating and accessing something that is already accomplished. That's why you need the anointing to be with you. And we're talking about, class, if I can say it to you, advancement in ministry, or having an advanced ministry, not getting caught up in an organization, not getting caught up in an association, which will always keep you to that level and below that level. Okay? That in ministry, when you go after it rightfully, there is no level. There is no level, because it's infinitum. It's so powerful, that revelation and God, nobody never have all the revelation of God. Are you with me? Now let me go over that again so you can understand what we're saying, what we're doing here. Let me go over it again. Ministry is neither a dream nor a trance. It is not a church title or a leadership position held in a local church. Now, I was emphasizing the second thing. The first thing, it is not a church title or leadership position held in a church. Secondly, it is not an organization or association. My God, it's not an organization. I want you to leave this school understanding that ministry is not based on organization and an association. But listen to this. It is a divine assignment handed down to a person by God. Are you listening? Now listen to this, class. Everyone God calls, he gave a task to perform. In fact, the entire Bible is full of called up people who carry out one special assignment or the other. I like those words. I like those words. Special assignment. Now, in my almost five decades of ministering the word, you have to know when God called you that you special, and you have to know that Satan knows you special. And if it's such a word, I won't make a word up, he won't make you unspecial by getting you involved in some of his sin so he can downgrade your life and downgrade your ministry. But you must always remember, in the eyesight of God, woo, you are special. Okay? And you have a special assignment. Let's see one. For instance, he called Moses to deliver Israel from Egypt. Special assignment, wasn't it? Joshua was called to lead the people to Canaan. Special assignment. Gideon, three of them, or four, he called to deliver his people from the Midianite. He called David to be king, and Isaiah to be prophet. I'm going to go over that with you. I'm going to go over it. Everyone God called, he gave a task to perform. In fact, the entire Bible is full of called up people who carry out special assignment or the other. And then I give some for instance. Now, let me prelude before I read this again. What makes us special is God. Because these people that I'm about to read again to you were not capable on their own to manifest what was required of them. So our insufficiencies and our inabilities and our inadequacies are not a hindrance to us, not when God called us and gave us an assignment. He equipped you. He qualified you. Your job is to yield, pay attention. Everyone whose name I'm about to call now wasn't qualified in their own ability to manifest what God wanted them to manifest or carry out. For instance, here we go now. He called Moses to deliver Israel from Egypt. Well, Moses, I mean, you read the story in Exodus. Moses crying out, "What? How, Muhammad? Who?" And he said, now watch what he said to Moses, because he's going to say it to you now. Moses said, "How am I going to do that?" He says, "I am that I am sending you." Now, I want you to grab that in your ministry, that you have the, I'm going to say something that is not common. Always remember you have the I am anointing on you. that I am is meaning that there's no blocks, no impossibility, no pressure, no power, no foe, no enemy, nothing to come against you when you're wearing the I am anointing. Because I remember I found out what I am mean. I am whatever you need at any given time. And only God can say that. But Moses had, you know, all the stuff that the burning bush, and he talked to Moses, and you know all the miracles he gave for Moses to get the people out, and he brought them out with silver and gold, and there was not one sick person among them. But it really wasn't Moses doing it. Hold up. Hold up now. This is what you have to understand. This is what Leroy understands. Of all the things that Word of Life have accomplished, and the ever-increasing Word have accomplished, and lighting the torches of ministry around the world have accomplished, I know it's not Leroy. I know that I'm an instrument with an assignment. Write it down. I'm an instrument with an assignment. So Moses, listen to this, Moses to deliver Israel from Egypt. Impossible for Moses alone. Joshua, after Moses died, was called to lead people to Canaan. Impossible for Joshua alone, but God was with him. Gideon, he called, and Gideon made all kinds of, I don't know nothing. Gideon, he called to deliver his people from the Midianite. Gideon cried out, "Oh, I come from a prophet." God said, "No, let's go ahead and do it." And he called David to be a king and Isaiah to be a prophet. I thought that was powerful. We're talking about heading toward excellence in life and ministry. And we begin with Daniel 5:12 and Daniel 6:3. I want you to make sure you know those verses. Now, class, this is a heavy one coming now. Ministry is stewardship. Serving as a messenger to carry out the orders of your superior. Now, that's a mouthful there. Listen, you might need to stand up if you need to. Ministry is a stewardship. Serving as a messenger to carry out the orders of your superior. So we got the word stewardship, we got the word serving, and we got the word superior. Stewardship, serving, and then superior mean that my stewardship and my serving has to answer to a superior. But it also means more than this. Whatever I have to accomplish, like the Red Sea, like Jericho Wall, like Goliath, whatever I have to face, I have a superior that is over all those opposition. You have to remember that thing. So look, sometimes look like from a natural standpoint, you're not going to make it. That's okay. That's okay, because that makes you lean harder. That makes you yield more. And that makes you not put your trust in man, circumstance, or situation, but your trust is in your superior. Always remember that your ministry have a superior over it. That is powerful within its speaking. So ministry is stewardship, and I'll repeat over and over, class, serving as a messenger to carry out the orders of your superior. Now listen to this. Grasp this. Ministry is not an ideal, a feeling, or a burden. It is carrying out a given task. You know, somebody talking about all the burden they bear, just kind of ease out and go take a bathroom break. Also, listen to this now. You have to remember this. This is what's your school year. It is harnessing divine resources to carry out a divine assignment committed into a man's hand. That's what it is. Listen to what he said. He said, ministry is not an idea, a feeling, or a burden. All right? It is carrying out a given task. Also, it is harnessing divine resources. To carry out a divine assignment. So you cannot carry out a divine assignment without divine resources. Don't you try to do this thing on your prayer life. Don't you try to do this thing because you've been fasting for 3 days. That's your fasting and you're praying 3 hours in tongue is not for God. It's for you to come in, here's a word, alignment with what has already been accomplished in the spirit realm. See, so all of your praying and all of your fasting and all of your meditation are for you to come into alignment with something in the spirit world that is an assignment from God that already has been accomplished. Can you see that? So it's powerful now because take this term, the harnessing of divine resources. In other words, you harness those resources and you handle your business. Don't ever try to handle your business without harnessing your resources. Is that good? It is harnessing divine resources to carry out a divine assignment committed into a man's hand. Now, so in ministry, you have a divine assignment committed in your hand, but you're going to have to be like Daniel. You're going to have those divine resources of knowledge and revelation and things that God, you can't get nowhere else from God. You see, you can't forget that you're called. You can't forget that you're anointed. And you can't forget that you got to walk in humbleness and meekness and give God the glory. Are you getting that, client? All right, just a few more minutes now. Here's another thing about ministry stewardship, and a lot of people get in trouble with this. It is not limited to the pulpit or to preaching, as it were. Rather, it covers every area of human need, social, moral, spiritual, physical, and mental, etc. It's not just about preaching, it covers every area of human needs, your social life, your moral life, your spiritual life, your physical life, and your mental life. Now, We're talking about life and ministry. So now you got to let it cover all this in your life, and then you want to cover the people whom God sent you to be covered. Let me give it to you. It's not limited to the pulpit or preaching, as it was. Some people just put all the emphasis on the preaching, but rather it covers every area of the human need, social, moral, spiritual, physical, mental, etc. Now I'll take up class in our next section right from those points. But you see, we're dealing with going toward all the time excellent in life and excellent in ministry.